is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, welcome to News for the Soul. I'm your host for this hour, Eli Maya Hoshotara. So we're going to do mailbag today unless Annie's going to call in. And you can write in to us at onTheAir@telus.net. That's onTheAir@telus.net. Tell us with only one L. And you can also go to our website. That's newsforthesoul.com, newsforthesoul.com, if that's any easier. And you can find out how to contact us there. Just put my name on it if you want me to do the reading. So let us talk a little bit about, before we start, about distinctions, because this is one of the things that I see people really screw themselves over with in terms of, you know, things you're supposed to put up with from other people. What is actually good growth for you? And when should you walk away? So first off, we're going to talk about appropriateness, because there are certain levels to interactions. So there's like, so if we do very bottom, we'll make one at the bottom and we'll make 10 at the very top. So one, like the lowest level we could possibly get is your warning signs are flaring and it's like, no, you know, stay away from that person. and that sort of person, if it's really low enough, even though it's broad daylight, you know, you see them approaching, maybe they're just checking for instructions, you know, directions on how to get somewhere, but you see them, they're looking at you, they're walking over to you, know they're coming. And you just, like, you don't want that interaction. You maybe that's all they have in mind. Maybe it's something more. You don't know what's going to be happening. Even though it's broad daylight, it's public, and you're going to duck into a store because that's just going to be a lot safer, and you're going to get the heck out of there. So, and there's, like, you know, certain places that you're avoiding during, you know, certain neighborhoods or whatever, certain parts of the world that you're going to be avoiding. Unless you're, you know, you're well armed, to put it politely. So there are, you know, your places that are can be completely and absolutely stuff you should stay away from. And then, of course, you know, a lot less, you know, drama and trauma and fear and life ending or life filled with torture. You do have people still that just really, you know, your warning signs are going to be flaring, but you don't necessarily have to duck into a store. But maybe, you know, you're still going to be more comfortable. Maybe it's really still going to be a good idea. And then there's going to be that. And then it's going to go up to, you know, at the highest levels, of course, somebody that's going to be good for you to be involved with. And they see things like, you know, there's certain people to be involved with for a certain season. You know, so if you're really good at skiing and, you know, maybe you two are really good at skiing together, you have the same interest, but you don't have anything else in common, then, you know, maybe that's your winter friend. I actually know one woman where she's got, and I'm going to change it for the sake of her privacy, but she's got this really lovely car and she's got this really, really amazing best friend who doesn't, you know, often have a car, but the car is only suitable for certain weather up here. So when it's nice and it's sunny and stuff like that, she loves her convertible. But in the winter, you know, she prefers it, you know, something that's closed and doesn't like the convertible so much, especially she does a lot of skiing. Having her 4x4, you know, so she could go up to the snow hills and stuff like that just feels a lot more comfortable for her. And she doesn't want to have to worry about the convertible, you know, cleaning it for storage, you know, pulling it out, et cetera, et cetera. She'd rather just, you know, be able to hand it off to somebody else and it's going to come back clean. And so she's got a friend who's in, you know, another area and she drives the car down where it's warmer and she lets her friend have the car for, you know, the time period where she's not going to be driving it up here. And, you know, so her friend has, for part of the year, got this lovely, lovely convertible. But it's just not, you know, 100% of the time because she still wants her car, but she's got enough money, obviously, to be able to share and really help her friend out who she absolutely adores. So there are different ways that, you know, sometimes you can really serve somebody in certain ways. And I mean, that's incredibly generous. I mean, let's be clear about that. And there's certain ways you're going to be able to do that too in excess. If you have the money, you have the funds. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's in smaller ways where you do have something that you can give, you're able to share, and it's for a certain season. And people are going to come in that way too, right? Like there are, you know, whether it's you go skiing together, but you don't have much in common during the rest of the year, or maybe somebody's a really good travel buddy, but you don't have enough common ground once you're back at home base, or vice versa, right? Like maybe you're really, you know, you can get along. You know, they're nice enough, but you know, you're never going to want to go traveling with them, or maybe even love them. They make so many bad decisions for themselves. You're not going to want to cross borders with them because they're making a lot of really bad decisions that could end you up in a lot of trouble. An example of that would be some people have that family member where it's like they know they're just not going traveling with them because there could be some seriously dire consequences. So there are people where you know, there are certain situations where you're going to be okay to deal with them and certain situations where you're going to really love them and then certain situations where, and this may be different people, but that you can deal with them sometimes, but, you know, it's going to be a lot of stress, so you're not going to take them on very often. Then there are people that can make more sense to take on more often in the whole nine yards. And some people within that, they're going to be, you know, maybe suitable as friends. Maybe actually like them, but it's just not going to be best friend status. Sometimes it's going to be you really, really like them. You're crazy about your best friend, but it's not going to be like romantic status for whatever reason, either, you know, age difference, you know, you don't date that gender, whatever it is, you know, or they're, I've met people where, you know, they're absolutely crazy and they're totally best friends. They do date, you know, that person's gender, but they don't go there because they don't want to take on somebody else's, you know, $100,000 debt in some cases. Because, you know, not only is that going to wipe out their retirement fund, but it's also going to mean that they're not going to be able to save more for retirement on top of it, and it's probably always going to be a lot of drama. So they, even though I've met people where they're in that position where they absolutely love the person. They feel like they are in love with the other person, but they've had to step away in order for things to calm down so that they could go back and maintain a friendship because the bond is so strong, but their heart was breaking for some time, in some cases years, because they knew that they were never going to be able to be with that person as much as they loved them because that person would destroy their life through their bad habits. So there's a lot of different ways and reasons why we do have distinctions about who we're going to take on to what degree. Now, in codependency, you know, people don't tend to like that. You know, it's like because people don't know how to make their lives work, which is interesting because when people don't make the distinctions, you'll get those same people who they don't want to make those distinctions. And then in other moments, you know, because they think, you know, it makes them a good person. And then in other moments, they're sitting there crying their eyes out because, you know, they keep getting hurt. People keep, you know, tearing them down. People keep asking too much. They can't, you know, maintain the friendship without getting yelled at or having their life tanked or both. But they're trying really hard to keep the friendship, but they can't figure out a way out of it. But they're a good person, quote unquote, so they're staying. And that would be a really good example of those distinctions do need to be made and they're not being made. And when I see people who don't make distinctions, it's usually because of a lack in some cases. In a lot of cases, you know, some people think it makes them more advanced. And Ram Dass was actually talking about this. I was watching one of his videos and he was saying that it is, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically you have to know how to use this stuff. And I've always said, you know, there's a proper interpretation for it because you do have to, and these are my words now, but you do have to know how to use this stuff properly because otherwise it does cause problems and it does cause pain. Ram Dass actually said it causes harm. And you can absolutely do that for anybody who you know, your friends with her, you got extended, well, that would be almost everybody, relatives from the 1950s, and some, or maybe know somebody who, you know, was married back in the 50s, and their community, their church shamed them, you know, excommunicated them, the whole nine yards, because they wanted to get a divorce because they were in an abusive relationship and they didn't want to get beaten anymore. And instead of understanding that and making those allowances, they got shamed for giving up. So it wasn't like, shame, how dare you beat somebody? We're going to protect this person. It was like, how dare you divorce the abuser? And, you know, some people think, well, you know, that's just a certain community, that's just in religion. And, I mean, I want to be clear, this was North America, this was, you know, Caucasian people. And in other cultures where, you know, people think that idea exists, where you're going to have to stay no matter what, even if you're abused, there are people in those cultures who, you know, if the daughter was pregnant, you know, the parents would disown her, and they're very clear about that. Still, they would, you know, if the daughter was in an abusive relationship or whatever else, if she wanted to get a divorce, they would let her come home. So, you know, it's not always as black as white and white as we think. It's not always, you know, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way. There's a lot more that people tend to not understand, and in some cases don't want to understand, because they're trying to make it, because they honestly think, you know, it works this way. Sometimes people just want it to work that way to be right. That also happens. And it doesn't make anybody more right than they actually are, to refuse to make distinctions. So when you hear things like, well, you know, if you have love in your heart, it means you don't see any wrong. That's not true. In fact, even people who have said that have in other moments, you know, and really, really high up people have said, you know, like, oh, you know, he doesn't see your bad spots. That's not true. And maybe they don't realize it yet, because you can listen to them in other talks. And they're talking about things like, you know, they're getting mad at somebody because, you know, this great guru is getting mad at somebody because they, the person, through, you know, ineptness, didn't care, wasn't being on task, you know, decided to pull some stuff, whatever, ended up, say, taking away $10,000 out of a bank account, which was illegal, could, you know, end the charity up in hot water, and use it because they thought they were doing something quote unquote good, because they wanted to help a buddy out, but they helped a buddy out by, you know, absconding with charity funds, as one example. And they're sitting there getting reamed out by, you know, this high guru who says, you know, love everybody, and, oh, he apparently doesn't see any wrong in anybody, and it's just not true. So when we see these sorts of things, and this is why it can be sort of confusing with all these different self-development ideas out there, it's like, well, you know, does it always work this way? Well, what about this way when it hurts or you're getting in trouble? There's usually misunderstanding, and if you're listening to the lectures long enough, if you are in some cases, in other cases, if you're just watching them in action, and if you actually are close enough to be able to see them, you do see things that from an outside point of view, from a codependent level, may look like somebody is doing something in a certain way, and that there's the expectation you should allow yourself to be hurt and you're not allowed to stop it. But again, that's all the dark stuff, you know, that comes from the ego, the self-development ego, that comes from the spiritual ego. Because when you listen, and again, you're around those people, you do see that the places that they're actually correcting are to make things so that people aren't hurting other people, even though they have great love in their hearts. Some people will not be, you know, acceptable for certain communities. Some people, you know, they do have mental health issues and they have no interest in controlling them. Some people have mental health issues and they're trying their best and they're getting growth work for those moments. So some people are willing to work with them. And some people are here to work with people who are very far gone, have absolutely zero interest in controlling themselves. But their life path is, in essence, to just sit there and say, oh, poor baby. And sorry, I see all you in the line, so I'll just finish up here. And apparently we've got open lines today after all. so just give me a few minutes here. But when all these things are happening, you understand as when you start to see things deeper and deeper and deeper, that Like, say if somebody is growing, even though they're like your warning signs are flaring, some people will take them on still because they're still doing the work. And they can get pretty far with doing some work, but they may not be able to make it the whole way, you know, or whatever the reasons may be. They're able to hold it together in this environment, so they're given the chance to grow, even though it would not be appropriate for you to take that person on that environment. As other examples, or maybe, you know, you could still include them in some things, but it would not be good for you to be one-on-one in a friendship with them. It may not be good for you to ever date them. There may be huge warning signs for dating them, but they're able to hold it together in a certain environment, so they're given the chance to grow. And getting back to the poor baby thing, some people, there is a recognition that some people are just so far gone, there's so much damage, they have absolutely no interest in controlling it, no interest in helping themselves. And for some people, their path is just to simply sit there and hold their hand and say, you know, poor baby, or go, oh, that is tough, you know, and you're not doing anything to change them. But that's not everybody, and it's not even most people to a very high degree. But there are some people who genuinely have that path. Now, does that mean you should always listen to the person who has that path? No. There are people who have that path but genuinely understand it's not your path and it would not be good for you. But there is something that they are getting out of doing that, where there is some sort of growth for them in that field, or there is a beautiful offering that they're not coming to harm with that is still causing them to grow. And that's why they're doing that. And that is drastically different than somebody who hasn't figured out their own stuff. And because they haven't figured out their own stuff enough, excuse me, they're going into environments that are very bad for most people to a very high degree, including themselves, and expecting other people to come in and also play, you know, pity party, and they're getting burned, you know, they're getting hurt. You get, sometimes you get very broken little ladies who, and you get cases of elder rape. Because they're trying to help in an environment where people are so far gone, they don't have the skills. But because the women are very broken themselves, you know, they're going to help. And sometimes it just comes from caring. Sometimes it comes from they think they're supposed to. Sometimes it comes from, yes, I am the light and I will help serve you. Because they're better than all the other people that are saying no, because the other people recognize the danger, or recognize that they just don't have the skill set. You know, in some cases, you know, proper gun usage, you know, martial arts, the whole nine yards, so it wouldn't be safe to go into those environments. And you have people who will go into those environments and get hurt, because that is part of the karma and part of the learning process. In some cases, like, hey, smarten up. This is not about, you know, shutting off your knowledge. This is not about shutting off the brain cells and going into that and thinking you're light. And some people, you know, really, really get big, strong karma as a whack back because they're being, we'll be polite and say silly through improper usage. And this is one of the things that I see a lot of people when they're, you know, refusing to have discernment because they think it makes them a good person, or because they're in the ego and like, oh, I'm better than you. Look how I save the people that nobody else wants to touch. And they're getting burned and burned and burned again and again and again. And, you know, not everybody who's doing that has got a really bad attitude, but there are definitely some that do. You know, in other cases, people just don't understand, but it's because they're coming from their own pain and suffering because they don't understand that you can make life work better, and that everybody actually does have a lot more choice than they think that they do. And some people don't understand it. They don't want to understand it because they want to get a pity party going for themselves, so they're throwing pity for other people. And again, that's another place people can get burned, and it's karma going, you know what, doesn't work this way, pumpkin, you know, whack, whack, whack. So when you're listening to any of that stuff and you're thinking it means you're supposed to tank yourself, that is not the case. In my personal experience, all of the self-development, even the stuff that hurts, the actual real stuff, it's usually about having you grow, and it's grow to health, and it's growth to wisdom, and it means in a lot of cases that it doesn't mean like nothing's ever going to hurt, but as Ram Dass said, you know, you don't want to be involved in the karma where somebody is hurting you, because if you're, you know, I'll be polite and say being silly, and allowing people to hurt you because of that, that's your karma. If they hurt you, that's their karma. But if you're engaging the pattern, to allow yourself to be hurt because you're choosing to be silly, that's your karma. And so, and you don't want to have that karma, as Ram Dass says, you couldn't afford it. You can't afford that kind of karma. And most people can't, but most people don't understand that. And the interesting thing is, like, well, what about the people that are so far gone? Again, there are some things where people need treatment, but there's still choice to go. There's also still choice to do the self-development work to whatever degree that they can, and not everybody's interested in that. And that, again, does come with the karma. And part of the karma is some people will not be able to be around them. But the more that people have their stuff straightened out, and they have love in their hearts, they have that soul connection, the easier and easier it is and the more beneficial it is to be around them. So whenever there's anything that's like, you know, and again, it does depend on where somebody is, because some people are, you know, so far gone, they have to do anything that they don't want to do, you know, that's somehow wrong and bad for them. And it's like, that's not wrong and bad. That's sometimes it's get off your tushy. Sometimes it's, you know, resistance. Sometimes it's maturity increase. Sometimes it's all of the above. But those sorts of things, you know, it's important to make those distinctions. But outside of that sort of thing, really is the fact that it's just growth and it's just being called upon to grow. And there's a lot of love that way. And when that happens, that is part of how you get off this planet is, you know, you have love in your heart, you get your stuff straightened out. And that is how you get to that point where you do get released off the earth plane. So whenever we're thinking, you know, anything's supposed to be dark or, you know, putting up with nasty stuff, it doesn't really make sense. So we have, let's see, area code 203, you're up first, 831, I see you, and 703, you'll be after that. So area code 203, you're on the air with Elmaya Hoshiamtara.
Hey, how are you? This is Pat from Connecticut.
Hi, Pat, I'm good. How about you?
Patricia. I'm starting to do Patricia. At least on things that I on things that I sign. It's a 70-year-old habit to break, but things that I sign, which is a good way to start. Anyway, your show is absolutely apropos. I have a question that I feel very awkward about asking, but you're literally talking about this, so this is helping me. So I'll try to explain it as quickly as possible. After 25 years of not being involved with a man, not being attracted to a man, anything, I've become so silly attracted to someone. And it's one of those things that makes no sense, which is actually lovely. It's like a karmic thing, I think, or something like that. Within 2 days, he was saying, you know, you're a friend. And within a week, I was literally physically attracted to him. I'm too old for him. We are so different, but this attraction is so strong. But he's coming on to me sexually, and I realize I can't do that for lots of reasons. I mean, I wouldn't do it so quickly with anyone. I don't really know what his values are, if that's the way things always are, or if he's being, you know, taking advantage of me. Anyway, I decided that I'm just, you know, haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I now have an opportunity this week, and I just invited him for dinner, and I'm going to explain to him where I'm at. But I also, as much as I have to draw the line on that, I still want to be physical with him. I really do. Whether it's a body massage or something, but I will not go beyond that. And I just want to know what you're picking up. It's been, you know, it's interesting. Every time he starts to get physical and there's basically nothing around that, no talks, no getting to know each other, I stop it. But when I leave, I'm really down and I feel lonely. So clearly, you know, 30 years ago, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's hurting my soul. So here I am again. I could very well hurt my soul. I'm not going to do it. But, oh, God, I love this guy. And I want his friendship forever. This, yeah. Just this neat connection that I've not had in years. It's lovely. It's wonderful. It's charming. It's something special, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that is a nice thing, right? Like when we have those distinctions. What is his first initial? Just the first initial.
S.
S. Oh, S as in Sam?
Exactly.
Okay.
You got
a moment here.
Don't confuse him with the other Sam that was in my life that helped me get a car that literally 2 weeks ago tore me to shreds. So, and it's really interesting. It's the same interest.
Okay. Okay. Give me first initial of the last name of love interest.
S.
Okay.
As in Sam.
Okay, that is a good distinction. Okay, good. That is a good distinction to make because I picked up on the other one. And I was like, you don't want that guy in your energy field.
Oh, boy. I'm so glad I mentioned that.
Okay. Yes, definitely. Okay. Let's see here. So it does seem like there is there is really good friendship capability, and I do see friendship capability from his side as well. So that's really nice, and it's very lovely. In terms of, you know, the opening and, like, wanting to be physical, I'm really glad that you're having that experience, you know, coming back into the heart space, because your energy really has, you know, with everything that you've got going on, your energy has changed a lot. I mean, you don't even sound like the same person that I was talking to before. You sound a lot lighter. You sound a lot happier. Your voice is, you know, softer. Your voice is higher pitched. Like, you're really coming into more embodiment of this, like, feminine energy, which is really wonderful. And your vibration's gone up as a result as well. But keeping things apart from this young man sexually would be a really, really good idea, because here's the thing. He can do that with you. And then he can completely and absolutely walk off, go meet somebody else, and come back and say, like, this is my friend Patricia. Isn't she great? And still want to completely have that heart space and have that friendship with you, except now you've gotten physically attached. And he's just, you know, he's capable of having that friendship space with you to that degree, whether he sleeps with you or not. But it's... it can be very obviously confusing on your end, and it's not easy to trust somebody whose intentions, even though it looks like he's actually a good person, I really want to be clear about that, it's not easy to trust somebody who's like, look, he's really a good person, but, you know, he'll sleep with you, but then he'll go find a romantic partner, and then he'll bring her back and be like, hey, this is my friend, you know. I'm not playing either of you, honestly, even though it doesn't look like he's honestly playing you, it looks like he would just be able to have that friendship bond with you so strong that he would take your word for it that all you want is friendship. He would trust that friendship, and he would trust that friendship so much that he would bring another woman around and say, this is my friend, and expect you all to get along just great, because he's just in that love space, like, honestly, nicely, and I am really stressing the nicely part here, because again, sometimes it's hard to trust when people are in that space, because a lot of people, you know, they say they're in that space, but they're not in that space, and there's ulterior motives, the energy's dirty, et cetera, et cetera. But with this guy, like, it just honestly is, he just has that love space for that friendship with you. And so let's see here.
So, you know, he's 12 years young. Can I add something,
okay,
or do you want to keep going? He's 12 years younger than He's 12 years younger than me, so realistically, I kind of see that I really would love to enjoy some, I'm not going to sleep with him, but I'd love to enjoy some physical intimacy, and know that most likely he will, I would hope for him to find love. This is such an unconditional feeling of love towards this guy that I can grasp that, I think, but I hear you, and I take your warning, but not going to sleep with him, but I do want physical intimacy. And it was like suddenly today I realized I could have that. I'm just making it so black and white. Can I? This is why I'm calling you.
Yeah, no. Really, no. It's going to throw you. So what they're basically saying is this is, you know, you've got a wonderful friendship here. This is going to be a little bit, as they politely put it, a mind fuck.
Yeah.
For you, but not for him. So this is going to be one of those things where it's like, can you open your heart? Because we're getting into more heart expansion with Patricia.
Yeah.
You know, can you open your heart, but still understand where to have boundaries and what your boundaries are? Because you've got, you know, and it's so rare to find somebody that you can actually practice with. And,
right.
you know, I'm not saying that he's always going to be perfect. I'm not getting anything negative, but, you know, I mean, as a human being, but I don't get anything negative from him. And so one of the things that sometimes we are given that gift is to have that friendship that is so solid and have that person who is so solid that we can work through our stuff and trust that they're not doing anything gross with it, but it can just allow us to work through our own mind fudge.
Why wouldn't it be a mind fuck for him?
well, because he's got that capacity to be able to trust in the friendship. He's
what?
Able to be heart open. He's got the capacity to be able to trust in the friendship. Men also do have a higher capacity to, like, you know, just have sex and leave. And women do have that capacity as well, right? Like, if we've, you know, women who are sleeping with an old ex that they're very complete with and, like, actually complete, they can totally go, you know, have sex with him and then go meet the one, you know, later on that week and not think twice about the ex, even if it was an ex-husband.
Yeah.
They can completely actually go and do that, provided that they're clear enough within it. They just don't have that attachment, even though if they slept with a complete and total stranger, their own mind
yeah.
would start happening because of the hormones. but, you know, again, like, this is not, you know, it's, and again, he's human, like the him trying to hit on you sexually, that part's icky. I mean, that part is still, you know, weird and icky, but it's, you know, to be able to have the friendship, like, he's able to meet you in the friendship space, whatever it is that you want to do, but you probably don't want to get involved with, you know, putting yourself through the, oh, wait, he's hitting on you.
Well,
you're not going
to
want to put yourself through that because that's icky.
No, well, it started off with him just asking so cutely if he could kiss me. And I love kissing him, and I'm really physically attracted to him. That's as strong as a friendship. So that
right.
almost seems like a karmic thing too, because I have not felt that for 25 years.
Yeah. And it is a karmic thing. I mean, you have stuff to sort out with, you know, opening your heart and making proper decisions for yourself and knowing how to do that. And that has been a hard challenge for you. So this is, you're right. It is very karmic. Look, he's cute. You're attracted to him. He's showing interest. You haven't felt this in so many years. And, you know, do you want to go through the pattern again, or do you want to embrace the other parts that are there? And it's totally up to you what you want to do with it. But it is the calling for the resolution of that energy of whether you're going to heart open but still allow yourself to make those distinctions.
So you're saying you can't have some physical intimacy without having sex. Even that is going to be bad. It's going to mess up my mind.
Well, when you're kissing him and stuff like that, that puts him in a dark space.
Why? What, dark? Why?
Well, because, like, not dark as in, like, he's going to hurt you, but, like, that's where his mind stuff comes up, right? And then it's like, so there's the dark side. Okay, so, I mean, everybody's got a dark side. This is not just him. But then it's like, oh, that's where he starts to pull away. You know, this is where it's like, you know, he can bring somebody back, but maybe there's a little bit of attachments and things aren't so clear. So, I mean, you'd be happy, but then his mind stuff starts to go. So, you know, you've got the capacity for a strong friendship and you've got the capacity for karmic resolution, or you have the capacity to, you know, trigger the old patterns again and put yourselves both through it.
Hmm.
So it really is like about what it is that you want to do. But if you can, you know, allow yourself to not do the physical, if you're willing to hold those boundaries and just have that heart friendship, and he's willing to do that with you, and you do have capacity for having, you know, a lovely friendship where you're both clear and allowing, you know, him to take on another partner, and you also possibly opening yourself up more heart-wise, or, you know, I won't put another partner on the table yet because you seem determined not to want that. But you have the chance for something really beautiful, provided you're willing to abscond from playing the old patterns.
Yeah.
So you're right, it is very karmic, because, I mean, he's a great dance partner for this one, because you're both going to be having the mind frick. You're both feeling kind of the same thing. You're both feeling, you know, some resistance to it, the whole nine yards. It's an incredible dance you two have going on. It's just whether you want to do that dance or you want to have love and friendship.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if you do decide to go there, you know, no judgment, please keep calling back, and, you know, we can talk about whatever comes up. But at this point, these are what your chances are, or choices are.
Okay. Will he be open to my talking to him? Because it's not of many words.
Well, you can tell him what's going on for you. And, he is somebody that I would be more inclined to trust to be able to have that talk, and then trust him that he's going to be able to have a good friendship otherwise. You know, and when I say have the friendship, it doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to take it, because, you know, there is human desire, a pathway, and, you know, whether he's there yet. But if he decides to give it a chance, I mean, he can absolutely get there where he does trust the friendship completely.
Okay.
So he's worth giving a chance to by having that conversation with him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I appreciate all your insight.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye, Patricia. Okay. One moment here. I'm just going to make a switch here. Okay, 831, 831, you're on the air with Almaya Hoshiamtara.
Yes, hi. I'm not exactly sure what to ask a reading about.
Okay, well, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Karen.
Karen?
I'm calling from, from Florida.
From where in Florida?
Gulf Coast.
Gulf Coast. Okay, so Karen from Gulf Coast, Florida. Okay, well, I don't do medical stuff, but relationship, general readings, specific questions?
I guess a general reading would be nice.
Okay, one moment here.
Thank you.
One moment, it's just a little bit tricky.
Okay.
So, Taryn, so basically what's happening is you're going to have a really big, there is a really big opportunity in your life. They're saying that you haven't seized it yet. I'm not sure if you've actually found it yet or not, but there is a really big opportunity for you to be able to gain more personal power in your life. And it's important to understand, like, the big opportunity, there are going to be some things that you're going to have to be discerning about and say no to certain things. It's not going to be something that you're going to want to take on for the rest of your life in that specific aspect, but it will up your vibration a little bit in certain ways in terms of your personal power. And that'll be one of the shifts that you need to be able to make it to another level of personal power. Hold on here. One of the things that I would do is I would also talk to Jane Phillips. She's on Mondays at 2 p.m. PST. I would call her and just get an entity clearing. Just make sure this is, like, a lot of people have them. It's like there's no judgment around it. It's just part of, unfortunately, being a human on this plane. Sometimes things get attached and get into our energy that aren't the best for us. I would also talk to her about getting, like, any karma cleared from past lifetimes, seeing what could make that happen, because it seems like there's sort of a stuckness in your energy that I can't – they're not showing me what it is, but it's very, very solid, and it seems like getting a karmic clearing would allow you some breathing room in terms of what it is that you're going to be able to take on next and what you're going to be able to do. And it'll add a nice softness to your energy because it's almost like there's something think of it as like being stuck in a suit of armor, so to speak, where, you know, if you're living in a suit of armor is very, very hard. When the karmic effects being taken off, though, it'd be like you're being able to come out of that, you know, softer, able to move, which is really good, obviously, having flexibility. And it'll also help to increase your vibration because you definitely have some blocks. You do have some spaces where they're not allowing you to read because of the blocks. And they're all making your life a lot harder. They're also making it a lot harder to get to the places that you actually need to be going that would be more beneficial for yourself. So there's a lot of the bright side to this is that, you know, for the stuckness that you're feeling, there's a lot of stuff that you could actually do that could actually really help you to make a beneficial impact in your life. And it's not going to be quite as complex as... Go ahead.
Could you mention what those are? I mean, it's really spot on your reading, and I've been doing a lot of things, and I do feel stuck. I do feel blocked, including for myself, and personally disempowered. So you're really hitting on the key points, and I've been doing a lot of things. Is there anything that you could recommend? I mean, other than, like you said, call in for the scanning and clearing for karmic and for entity, but is there anything else that I can personally do?
Okay, so one moment here. Let me check. And I do want to be clear, this is not going to be a full read just because you've got so many blocks in there and they're not letting me see past some of the blocks, and I don't push them. I know some people push past the blocks, but when people are putting those up, I do respect them because there can be other I have seen where there can be other implications. So, you know, if Jane releases them and you're allowed to see them then that's great. If you talk to Jane and, you know, you want to come back and call me again after that stuff, then I'd be happy to do another reading for you. But I just want to be upfront that I'm not going to be pushing past what they're not willing to show me currently, because in my experience, there can be a reason for it. So let's see here.
Okay.
So somatic therapy, and it's the somatics that you're looking for. So this is not like what sometimes people think of as regular therapy. Sometimes when there's been a lot of trauma, the way that it gets stuck in the body can actually interfere with certain it can interfere with a lot of things, and it can be one of the factors, for example, why some people get rejected. Like, you know, sometimes you see people where your warning signs are like just flaring, right? And they've done absolutely nothing wrong. You know, it's a complete and total stranger. You just walk in your car from the grocery store. And that's a much more extreme version than what you have. but that can be an example of what it looks like when there are certain traumas being held in the body. And people can get rejected, you know, very easily, or they can get rejected faster for even not doing very much, which is the most bizarre thing. But there are ways that we pick up on other people subconsciously when there's been certain traumas, and people tend to get rejected for them, which is really interesting. So somatic therapy could help with that a little bit.
People tend to get rejected for the traumas they've had?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes. Because this is not like complaining to somebody and then getting rejected. It's like having somebody, like, say they tripped and they broke a leg. You know, it's like, well, you should be more careful. And it's like, well, you know what? Sometimes that happens, right? Maybe a kid, like, you know, came out in front of you on their bike and went, wee, and, you know, you fell over and you broke a leg. I mean, that's not your fault, you know, because sometimes kids really do shoot out of nowhere. So sometimes, like, these things happen, but it's the darndest thing where to see somebody, you know, get rejected because they've broken a leg. And this is the weirdest thing about trauma is that sometimes that actually does happen. It's very, very complicated, but somatic therapy can help with that when there's, like, say, nervous system issues. And I'm not saying that these are or are not things that you're going through, but, like, nervous system issues, for example, some people believe that some of the side effects of having nervous system issues are the top two reasons why people get rejected. And those will be people, like, they're trying really, really hard. They're actually being nice in the moment, and they're still getting rejected, and they can't figure out why. Like, we were just talking about the weather. Why are you mad at me? And those sorts of things can happen. But the biggest thing, and, you know, I'm trying all these, like, trauma treatments, and they're not showing me big results currently, but they're still saying they want you to go. To go talk to somebody who does somatic therapy. And it's a somatic, part that's important, because you're looking for the trauma stuff to be happening. But what they're saying currently is the biggest thing is to make the breaks from the old karma. That is the biggest, biggest thing, because that is that's the thing that's basically going to take you out of the suit of armor. But it's not just like a suit of armor. It's kind of like putting you in a suit of armor that's got, like one made out of cement, and it's got a bunch of like sharp pokey things coming out of it. Like it's the darndest thing. And it's really, it's causing you a lot of problems. So making that break will make a huge difference in your energy. And then after that, we could see where you're at and what's happening. And please, 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 you know, call back in. And I'd be happy to do a reading for you after that. But currently they're just showing until the karmic things are, they're basically showing me like whatever I'm trying to throw at it. And there's other, you know, obviously going to be tons of modalities out there. There's going to be blockages or there's going to be wrong turns. And those are also going to be things that can affect your energy. So it would be really good to do the karma work first. If you have, you know, Jane does the calls for free, obviously. But if you have the money to hire her for an hour, it would be well worth it to see what's in there and to really get a thorough taking out. She does things like she can, you know, get entities out of your home, the whole nine yards, and having a good long talk with her about all those things, because I honestly, I don't know how you would make it out without a lot of help. And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to scare you. It's just, this is probably one of the most complex readings I've ever had in terms of the blockages that are being thrown up and things not being allowed to show and then like wrong turns and the whole nine yards. So you really need somebody who knows how to get through all of that stuff. And, you know, when you're going for help and stuff like that, I want to be clear, this is not for a lack of trying on your part or anything else. It's just that you're really, really going to need outside help in order to make those things. But that can definitely help that. Other things like trauma therapy, like, say, visceral manipulation, sometimes when they are there's things like with the gallbladder, for example, that people can't tell who to stay away from when they're having gallbladder issues. It's the darndest thing, but the stuff works. And so they're not showing me that that's going to be the thing currently. I'm just telling you about it anyways, because that could be good for future knowledge, because sometimes when people are have issues that visceral manipulation takes care of, there can be sort of a darker cloud over people. Somebody had said that that can have to do with the dorsal aspect of the vagus nerve. When that somebody's having a problem with that, if you give them the instruction, you know, like open up to the moment of now, they can't do it because it just feels like everything dark is coming in. And that's actually a physical aspect of the dorsal aspect of the vagus nerve. So there's a lot of things in there that can be, you know, healed and worked on. They're just saying do the karmic stuff first to be able to get out of the cage and then get the rest of it. Also, being very careful about who you're I don't want to put paranoia in, but when you understand, like, somebody's going to take you down a path that's going to be, you know, a little bit darker, you can tell they're a little bit off, go pick somebody else to be listening to, and that's really important for you. To make sure that you keep going towards the light.
Yeah, I am. You know, I do stay on point about that. I haven't most of my life, and it has taken me to some vulnerability, has taken me to some dark places. But everything else you're saying, I'm just listening intently. I'm so glad I called. It just feels like just where I'm at, what, everything you said, and it does have a lot to do with traumas. And I feel other people's responses, and I've stayed away from other people as much as I can because I just know that I need to get something sorted out before I can be around people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, when those things, and again, nervous system issues, when those things are resolved, like some people, because of the trauma, there is an idea out there, and I'm not saying this is accurate or not accurate, but some people may always be a little bit more sensitive to it. But when you start to, when somebody doesn't have those issues, I mean, you can walk into a room and it's like, you know, it's like, say, a networking event and everybody's having a great time and you're like, hey, hi. And they're all like, Karen, hi. That's obviously going to be a much better life than it is to walk into a room. And some people have this experience. Everything's jumping at the networking event. They walk in, they say hi, and everybody's face drops. And they're like, oh, hi. And it's like, oh, man, that's so fucking hard on the energy. And you'll get this with people who are holding trauma in the body and they've done absolutely nothing wrong. They don't even know the people, you know, or maybe they know them, but they're just, all they've done is say hi. They've never done anything wrong to anybody that's in that room, but people are still having that negative reaction. And it's pretty profound. I've seen people have that reaction with, like, you know, people that I know are very lovely, like, and actually very lovely, not when people are like, you know, there's a person with the warning signs and they're like, oh, she's lovely. And you're like, I don't mean those people. I mean, actually very lovely people have really negative reactions to people that are holding traumas within their bodies. And I've always found that fascinating, and I couldn't figure out why that sort of thing was happening. But apparently that is a side of trauma, the nervous system and, like, other things that are going on. And there's, like, fight and flight issues that you can have with there's I think it's nerves around the ribs and around the heart that can cause issues with, like, fight or flight as well. And so, that again, those are the things that are going to be triggering rejection. Those are going to be the things where people are trying to give somebody else a compliment and the other person looks offended and they can't figure out why. All those sorts of things can have to do with trauma being held on the body. And they're not going to be things that you're going to be able to control without getting them resolved.
The only person I have ever heard say anything like this, and it's so true. I've never heard anybody speak about it before, but it's
yeah,
true.
It is. It's totally true. Getting the physical aspect again, I would, even though they're not showing me that for a reading, I would still definitely do that, but they're not showing me that probably because they want you to put more priority on getting the karma cleared first and then doing the other stuff. But yeah, like I've seen people make, even through self-development alone, and they kind of don't want me to tell you that because they definitely want you to get the karma cleared. They definitely want you to go for treatment for trauma. but even like through self-development alone, I've seen people, you know, night and day in terms of the breakthroughs that they've managed to make, but they'll still be stuck and will not have, even though they made great breakthroughs, they'll still be rejected until they do the trauma work. And they're making it very clear that they absolutely 100% want you to do the trauma work. They want you to do the trauma work, but they definitely want you to get the karma cleared first. And I've never seen anybody, you know, be told, you know, like, oh, look, let's get the karma cleared first. I think you're the first person to say that. so if you've had, like, you know, lifetimes of trauma and stuff like that, like, let's get that stuff shaken off and then deal with the trauma stuff. And then let's see where we're at after that. And please, yeah, call back in. And I'm so glad I was able to give you that resource. But yeah, it's visceral manipulation. You're looking for somebody who's goes up to neural manipulation, and you're looking for somebody for all of this. You're looking for people who specifically deal with trauma. If they don't have like that, they deal with trauma, I would keep looking, and also making sure that you're looking for somebody where if you can't tell that you can actually trust them, at least go for somebody that you like. If you're getting any shady warning signs at all, pick somebody else, please.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'll take it all to heart. Thank you so much. It's really been amazing.
You're welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you
I'm
so
glad
much.
It helped. You're welcome. And these shows are also in the archives as well. So you can just Google El Tara on our site. That's newsforthesoul.com. And you can listen to your portion of it so that you can see in case you forget anything, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Okay, Taryn, glad I was able to help. And thank you so much, everybody. I'm sorry, area code 703, I wasn't able to get to you yet, but we always have the next week. So thank you so much, everybody. And Taryn, again, I'm so glad I could help because I know how much of a difference this stuff can make in your life. and you can go to my website. That's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. That's for everybody. And you can come in for coaching. You know, I do readings, that sort of thing, not the medical stuff. The medical stuff, please talk to somebody else. But thank you so much, everybody, for calling in, for writing in, and just to let you know, you are in the mailbag. I'm Danielle in Chicago, I'm Shelley in New Zealand. So you are there. I haven't forgotten. So thank you so much, everybody, again. My name is Almaya Hoshyam-Tara. You can find me here at newsforthesoul.com here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I love you. Take care of yourselves and open your hearts. I'm getting Patricia. Okay. Love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.